sign says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Welcome, folks. Here we are. Here we are in the clubhouse on October 16th, 2017. You're tuned into the Trump phenomenon. I'm James Kelso, and joining us live, we've got Paul Fromm in Canada. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and it's just you and me right now.
You and me and Bobby McGee.
Yeah, George and Georgia might join us a bit later, folks. We had a full house last night. We had Kevin McDonald, Dr. Kevin McDonald, and Dr. Tom Sunek, and the three of us. So that was a rip-snorter of a show. Tonight we've got 1 hour in which to cover the latest developments of the major event of our time, which is the arrival of Donald Trump and the emergence of something bigger than Donald Trump, which is the Trump phenomenon, or the Trump effect, or the Trump train. And, you know, Paul, that's got me just as happy, if not happier, than the arrival of Donald Trump, because the Trump train is something upon which our people can build. It's an enduring thing with millions of people in it, thousands of great leaders, hundreds of great thinkers like Steve Bannon and Ann Coulter, and it's a little bit scary having to pin your hopes on one 71-year-old genius.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Any movement that is just one man, of course, is doomed to have a relatively short life, even though it might be a couple of decades. There was a great leader in Spain who saved Spain from communism, and that was General Francisco Franco. But his Falange party didn't really have, it was basically a one-man party. When he died, the remnants of his party were not able to hang on to power for very long. The same was the case in Portugal. The man who saved Portugal from communism, Antonio Salazar, was essentially a one-man operation. And as long as he was around, it was good. When he died in, I think, 73 or 4, the socialists, were almost communists, basically took power and got rid of Portugal's African empire and Mozambique and Angola with catastrophic consequences for the white people there. And then, of course, for the white people in Rhodesia, who depended on Mozambique for oil.
Go ahead.
Isn't just Donald Trump. Donald Trump actually tapped into things that were being there for quite a while. Ideas about immigration that were fostered by all sorts of people, American Renaissance, the American Freedom Party that I'm very proud to work with, Don Black, David Duke, and Sam Francis, and many other people. What Donald Trump was able to do, I think, was to give a voice to people who had been ignored and being made virtually voiceless by the people in who dominate the two parties. But those people will be there no matter what happens to Donald Trump. There's so much energy. That's what really encourages me in organizing. People like Steve Bannon and his effort to nominate decent people for the House and the Senate, not just country club Republicans who essentially go along with the present rotten system.
Yes. And folks, again, I speak only for myself. This is me, but it's a very strong conviction as to what has happened. One of the things that's part of the Trump phenomenon that Donald Trump has demonstrated is that a simple presentation of red-blooded, I'll just call it red-blooded Americanism, works politically. That white people will support it. You can win an office, and my goodness, President of the United States in a convincing win. In the Electoral College, Donald Trump trounced Hillary. I know the popular vote count was he actually lost that. It's necessary to reverse Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. It was only 70,000. Viewed that way, it can be called a close election. But in fact, Donald Trump smashed Hillary in the Electoral College, and it wasn't close. And that's the one that counts. But Donald Trump demonstrated that what America has been wanting all these decades, and of course the fundamental ideas of, you know, close our borders, save our jobs, these are not, you know, it doesn't take, Da Vinci to figure this out. This is just actually the common sense of the average guy on the street. It's not a profound realization or a great theoretical text that somebody wrote. These are just what an average guy in the barber shop or at the bar or, on a school bus, an average person, common sense. Donald Trump put that out as his platform, and it took off like a rocket. Why hasn't anybody had the brains to do that for the last 50 years? It's frightening that nobody did it. There have been instances here and there, but that's Donald Trump's formula for success, is keep it simple, red-blooded American patriotism. Now, let me go to a news story now that will encourage everybody in this audience. And this is in New York Magazine. An outlet of our opponents. Why Austria's election, about which we talked yesterday, why Austria's election should worry liberals, by a writer named Jonah Shepp. And here's what he has to say. Very, very intelligent, he says, or what he has to say. Although 31-year-old Foreign Minister Sebastian Kurz and his People's Party claimed victory in Austria's national election on Sunday, yesterday, the real winners were the right-wing, anti-immigrant Freedom Party, who garnered more than a quarter of the vote and dragged the conservative People's Party's platform to the right on immigration issues. It is not yet confirmed whether Sebastian Kurz will choose to break his party's decade-long grand coalition with the center-left Social Democrats and form a government with the far right instead. But it hardly matters. His platform shared the Freedom Party's positions on border controls, deportations, and radical Islam. Let me pause right there to greet our buddy George in Georgia. Hi, George.
Thanks, James. Had a little break for some heavy weather here, and we're back in business.
Well, good to see you. And folks, notice here in this article that what this left-winger, I'm assuming, because he writes for a New York Magazine, Jonah Shepp, is astutely observing, what won in Austria is that, we call it red-blooded Austrianism. And that's the pattern. That's what wins. And not only did it win, but this smaller party, the Austrian Freedom Party, which is a pretty interesting name, AFP, kind of like the American Freedom Party, although in the German use of that term, it's the Freiheitliche Partei Österreich, the FPO. But the let's go on. At least some of these positions, these right-wing positions, these patriot positions, these red-blooded Austrian positions, will become policy in his administration. Of course, obviously, you recognize my insertions there, folks. That was no left wingers that inserted those things. Even if he decides that the optics are too toxic. If, on the other hand, he does choose to form a coalition with the far right, nobody is talking about the EU sanctioning Austria as it did the last time the Freedom Party joined a government. After the nativist coup of Brexit, close calls in the Netherlands and France, and the strong showing of the far right in Germany last month, it shouldn't be surprising that the country where far-right nationalists now have their best shot at joining a government is Austria. Let's see here. Kurz played a role in the government's reversal of Austria's previously welcoming refugee policy last year and orchestrated a tightening of borders on the Balkan route to reduce the influx of migrants.
That's very significant. And, you know, when you were ticking off the right-wing stands, tighter border controls, you know, that used to be virtually mainstream in Europe and North America. Even, you know, kind of mushy Democrats up until quite recently believed in border controls because when they represented white working men and women, they knew that mass immigration was bad for the working man. And in Europe, the same way. It's only relatively recently that support for open borders and welcoming endless hordes of refugees and opportunists and rapists and so on had become in some way almost mainstream. Both
it is an exclusively it is a phenomenon that did not exist. Welcoming of invasion of your country did not exist in any white nation, no corner of any white nation before World War II. That was the turning point.
That's why Kuno Kalergi, the man whose evil ideas basically lay behind the European Union, that's why his ideas remained very quiet for a long time, or at least the larger part of the agenda. Initially, United Europe was sold on the idea that on the basis that, well, we want to reduce boundaries of borders and that you'll have a more integrated economy and to try to get along so we don't have another of the two catastrophic wars that damaged Europe so badly in the 20th century. But hidden in there, I mean, it was in his writings, but...
World War II was the catastrophic event which utterly changed the whole landscape of the whole white race in every white country. I mean, folks, this is the kind of thing where it's so big, it's right in your face. But let me go to the what's right in your face before World War II. Paul made the point that this was a mainstream thing to insist on tight borders. Oh, it was, yeah, to say the least. Let's use Australia as an example. And it was true in every white country. All of these things I'm saying were true in every single white country, without exception, the one exception being Russia. Of course, so Russia is a case of its own. But setting that aside for the moment, every white nation on Earth had tight borders. And, of course, Russia did too, actually. But
here's a little known fact that I picked up when I took speaking tours in Australia. The major proponents of the White Australia policy were not right-wing, businessmen, but was the labor movement.
And in workers.
Fact, who fought it to the very end until basically the labor movement, as in North America, was largely taken over by neo-Marxists.
Folks, this is a point I've been making to my fellow patriots for a few decades. And, I've always looked for the paradigm, the thing that demonstrates the point I'm trying to make. And the White Australia policy has been one of my favorite things to mention to people because most people are unaware of it. But Paul is right. The White Australia policy, which was officially enacted in Australia in 1901, was brought in by all parties, right, left, and center, including workers, very, very important part of advocating for the white Australia policy. And that said simply, Australia is a white nation and should forever continue to be a white nation, and that we should organize. It was the very first legislation of the newly independent Commonwealth of Australia, and it was the first act of their government. It was supported by every prime minister until World War II.
But supported by every prime minister until 1965.
Yes, but that was the, exactly, to be technical, it didn't unwind until after the war. But the war is what ended Australia's understanding of itself, and it ended its ability, its spirit, to maintain itself. It didn't come unwrapped. It's the same thing happened in the U.S. You know, the GIs who came home in 1946, like my dad, America was still a great place. And when I was born in 1948, America was still a wonderful place. But the psychology of pre-war America, that had suffered a mortal blow. And my point being this, that red-blooded Australianism, that red-blooded Austrianism, red-blooded Americanism, that was in place across the board, left, right, middle, men, women, young, old. There was no such thing as a category, millennials, back in our world. If you were a young man, you were a young man. You weren't a millennial or an Xer or whatever. We were one people. And leftists and liberals and people, more conservative people, they agreed on fundamentals. Like, you know, you ought to marry somebody that looks like you. You shouldn't ship your jobs overseas. You shouldn't let in the stranger into your gates and give away everything that you've got. And you shouldn't walk around life like hangdog, like I'm guilty for every bad thing that ever happened. So now let's continue with this story here. After the nativist coup of Brexit and then this other list that he went through, he said the Wunderkind minister has guided his party toward a harder line on immigration. Kurz is a very different person than Donald Trump, should be from Donald Trump, but has accomplished a similar feat of rebranding a national conservative party as his own movement and winning over voters by pledging to crack down on undocumented immigrants. That he is a generation younger and more connected to the political mainstream than Trump makes him in some ways a more compelling messenger for the new right-wing nationalism. That Kurz found success by lurching to the right. Now remember, a left-winger is writing this, and he's having a panic attack as he writes this. Specifically targeting immigration and Islamophobia, offers a vision that he found success by doing this. This is his Kurz phenomenon, offers a vision of how successful a center-right, far-right voting coalition can be in the current climate. His party favors tighter border controls, lower caps on refugee admissions, lower benefits for those who stay, expedited deportation of rejected asylees, well, there's a fancy word, asylees, and a crackdown on radical Islam. He shares the far right's skepticism of the European Union. His government, let's see, I'll skip a little, with Germany and France starting down staring down anti-immigrant rightists of their own. Skipping down. Liberal democracy in Europe is now on the defense, and the issue forcing the dynamic. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. More to come.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We're back, folks. I hope you listened to that last spot by Mike Rivero on supporting RBN, this fantastic network built by John Stadtmiller. Let me give you a little contact info so that you can get your support out there. You can phone RBN at 800-724-2719, extension 3. And then to mail in support, this is where I mail in my support, 2250, mail it to RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Round Rock, Texas, 78664, and that's suite 302. I'll read that again, RBN, 2251 Double Creek Drive, and then you could do the suite 302 right there. Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And I can't commend that to you too highly.
Telephone number.
Again, is 800-724-2719, extension 3. And the, you know, it doesn't, it's really, if everybody just comes up with a little, and then a few people come up with hey, something more substantial, we could keep this great enterprise going. And remember, RBN is not a shoutcast. It's not a podcast. It's not somebody doing a radio show from his basement. Funny thing for me to say, I'm in my basement right now. But it is a network that John Stadtmiller has created. So it has radio stations. It has the internet. It has social media. It has all kinds of outlets. So anything that you help build on RBN is reaching a big audience, and it's got lots of traction. It's a serious competitor to the legacy lamestream media. And that's what John set out to do, is build something that's real, that's big, that's got some muscle. Don't pussyfoot around. Don't go, wow, you know, I got a radio show now. You know, my mom and my, you know, my brother listen, and I'm a radio host now. No, this is a real radio network. So there you go.
I don't think it can be emphasized too much, James. You know, I've been around, you know, nationalist politics for a long, long time. Money is vital, you know, and you know, I think maybe I hope I'm only talking about Canada, but I often sense among some of our followers that this is a spectator sport. They enjoy the kind of from afar the comments, the what other people are doing, and so on. But they don't feel called upon to actually physically, you know, financially support it. And it's vital. I mean, without the money, it dries up. And I think others are almost willfully naive. They think, there must be some Texas oil millionaire funding this all. In most cases, it's small donations from ordinary working men and women. It's not the big boys. The big boys like George Soros and the Holly Weird perverts are shoveling money to our mortal enemies, not to us. So, you know, everybody has to do a part. And I know some people can't go up front like you and I do and George and so on, because they've got a job, and we live in very, very evil times where people want to destroy patriots by throwing them out of work. But those people who may not be able to take the front and center role like many, you know, you and me and Professor McDonald and various other people owe the cause their financial support. You don't have to go you don't have to go public to do this, but you have to do your role, your part too. This is a serious moment.
Yes, indeed, folks. The both said, Paul. And oh, by the way, our call-in number is 800-313-9443. We'll take some calls after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back, folks. Thanks for joining us. 800-313-9443, our call-in number, 800-313-9443. You can join us. There are lines open. Paul in Canada, George in Georgia, and I'm James up in North Dakota.
Hey, James, yes, quick comment to pile on. It is appropriate if you are an RBN listener and you are listening or watching or otherwise supporting the National Football League, you no longer have any excuse. It's 100% no tolerance for NFL. Get rid of your season ticket. Get rid of your cable subscription and divert those resources to Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you.
And instead of buying another San Francisco 49ers overpriced baseball cap or T-shirt, send the money you would waste on that, on an anti-white business, and send it to Republic Broadcasting.
Now, George, I am going to sound like a complete ignoramus here. Forgive me, folks. Tell me what happened yesterday in Sunday football.
I don't watch Sunday football. You're going to have to tell me, James.
Okay, yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, you know, yesterday, I'll look for the story. Hopefully it'll be on Breitbart. But this was a big showdown, you know, at the OK Corral, was what would these kneelers, I don't know what they want to call themselves, these
I know. You know, the guy with the giant afro is suing the union, the National Football League's Player Association.
Oh, that Kaepernick?
Yeah.
Oh, I think what happened, I saw this on, I very seldom read the sports pages, but I saw this on the headline in my own local paper here. One team, all of the members stood up during the anthem, and the other team, I think five or six, knelt. I think most players don't want anything to do with this nonsense.
Okay, well, maybe a caller can enlighten us three, no fans left, non-watchers of the NFL. What happened yesterday?
But I just got to say it, James. If you're listening to this broadcast, and you are watching the National Football League, that's a dichotomy. You got to make a decision now. Either go with the National Football League or go with RBN. You can't do both.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go with some good news I do know about today, which is that Donald Trump doing a press conference with Mitch McConnell, looking like a dead fish next to him. I don't know what kind of fish. I don't know, a walleye. I'm not sure. Looking like
a dead fish.
Yeah, but a dead fish standing next to Donald Trump. And he Senate, here's the story on Breitbart. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell responded to Breitbart News Executive Chairman Stephen K. Bannon's decision to go to war against the Republican establishment in the upcoming Senate Republican primaries on Monday. And then here's a quote. You have to nominate people who can actually win, because winners make policy and losers go home, McConnell said when asked about Bannon by reporters at the White House. The Senate Majority Leader specifically recalled anti-establishment Senate candidates like Christine O'Donnell, Sharon Angle, Todd Akin, and Richard Murdoch, who won their Republican primary but failed to win their general election against a Democrat. McConnell praised his own campaign model in 2014 that allowed the Republican Senate to seize the majority. Blah, blah, blah. I'll skip a little of that. McConnell made his remarks during a surprise press conference at the White House on Monday after having lunch with Trump. The Senate Majority Leader went out of his way to appear supportive of the president's agenda. That's the way he looked, too. We have the same agenda, McConnell said to reporters. We've been friends and acquaintances for a long time. We talk frequently. Frequently, we talk on the weekends. McConnell specifically mentioned support for upcoming issues in the Senate, such as tax reform and the budget. The president said that McConnell was a friend, despite reports that said the two were at odds. And he says, we have been friends for a long time. We are probably now, despite what we read, we're probably now, I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, closer than ever before, he said. The relationship is very good. Now, folks, imagine saying that about your wife, said.
You're on the way to divorce court.
Yeah, I mean, here we are. You're saying this about your wife. We're probably now, despite what we read, we're probably now, I think, at least as far as I'm concerned, closer than ever before. Look, yeah, that's right. It's over. So Donald Trump, I mean, he is such a genius at signaling things like this. They accuse him of dog whistling. Well, that's dog whistling there, folks. Here's what I'm taking away from this. Steve Bannon is out there doing what he can do because he's free to move. He's got tactical freedom and strategic freedom to maneuver. and he's pounding away at the McConnell-Ryan forces. Donald Trump, even though he's in a much more powerful position than Steve Bannon, he actually is not free to do that. Think about it, folks. You got to sit and think about it for a minute. Donald Trump has to, in a way, imagine if he got up at the microphone there and said, look, I want half the people in the Senate to go, and I want half the people in the House in the Republican Party, they need to be gone. He can't really do that. Steve Bannon can, but Donald Trump can't. He's got to say this kind of, well, at least as far as I'm concerned, we're closer than ever before. Probably, I think, maybe, I'm not sure. He's got to say something like that to keep up appearances and just go with what he's got. As president, he's got to go with what he's got. It's up to Steve Bannon and folks like you out there in the audience to get Donald Trump something better.
Right.
And so if you can appreciate that difference, you got to look at Donald Trump with a different lens than the one with which you look at Steve Bannon. And Bannon is signaling that to you. Bannon is saying that repeatedly. Trump also called Bannon a friend.
Yes.
Suggesting that he would communicate with him about upcoming Senate races. He said, now here's what Donald Trump said about Bannon, because the reporter was saying, hey, what about this Bannon saying I'm going to challenge every one of these neocons in the Senate, every one of these rhino Republicans. Trump said, Steve is doing what Steve thinks is the right thing. Some of the people that he may be looking at, I'm going to see if we talk him out of that, because frankly, they're great people. In other words, Donald Trump is saying, Steve, don't knock them all out. But he's not actually saying that. It's just like that statement, like, I think I kind of got good I think me and my wife were doing about as good as we've ever. No, Donald Trump appreciates what Steve Bannon is doing, but Bannon's got to do that work outside the White House. And that's why he said when he left the White House, he said, in the White House, I had influence. Outside the White House, I have power. And that's why Sebastian Gorka, who's now with him at Breitbart, outside the White House, Gorka, another genius, said, I think Steve Bannon is this. No, he didn't say I think. Steve Bannon is the second most powerful person in America.
And so when McConnell was stating what he wanted, he said that all Republican incumbents should be renominated, and in the where there is no incumbent, they must try to nominate an electable person. Well, I don't think anybody would disagree with the idea of nominating an electable person. I think, though, what he was really saying was nominate a rhino country club Republican who's not really committed to the interests of European Americans.
Yeah, we saw the model with Roy Moore, Judge Roy Moore, his victory. We're seeing another one with Marsha Blackburn. She's going to be the next senator, replacing Bob Corker in Tennessee. And we'll see it in campaign after campaign. Heidi Heitkamp is running for Senate here in North Dakota. She's a Democrat whose score on Roy Beck's most reliable numbers, USA.org, immigration website, her immigration score for her career in the U.S. Senate is F-.
Oh, and,
So the Steve Bannon will have a surprise here in North Dakota for Heidi Heitkamp, and he's interviewing all over the country, flying around the country, talking to people who he is recruiting to run against the Rhino Republicans, to run against the Democrats like Heidi Heitkamp, who she is in a totally Donald Trump state, this one, North Dakota, voted 2-1 for Donald Trump. So how does Heidi Heitkamp propose with an F-minus immigration scorecard on that most important issue, how does she propose to survive if the glare of the truth is shown upon her in the next 13 months? No.
Well, let's call Heidi to resign now.
Yeah.
Heidi's a waste of space. Hey, Heidi, resign.
Yeah, well, She's going to run, but what's important here is that a McConnell rhino not be the one that beats her, but instead somebody like Judge Roy Moore. So, you know, people will be beating the bushes of North Dakota for our best patriots.
They ought to nominate you.
Well, yeah, I might, that's a longer story. I may do something in the 2018 North Dakota races, and my goal would be, like if a reporter called and said, what are you doing, Kelso? I'd say, I have limited resources. I'd like to highlight with my campaign, educate people that Heidi Heitkamp on their most important issue, immigration, has an F-minus career record. With the most reliable immigration scorecard. And, you know, just help get that piece of information out there. I'm obviously not going to win the Senate seat, but that would help. The idea would be whoever is going to win, whoever is, assuming it happens, going to beat Heidi Heitkamp, I could help that person, not hurt him, help him. And so getting that fact out there would be good. And we're good at getting the facts out. We're pretty well informed and so on. This show does a lot of that. Let's see here. What are some stories that are important for us here? Steve Bannon is going to be speaking on Friday at the Republican State Convention. That'll be a big deal. We will cover that. And here's a not so encouraging story. Let me see if I can find it here for you. On the immigration front, speaking of that.
While you're looking for that, James, when I was watching the press conference today with Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell, the word, the lyrics from a Guns N' Roses song just kept going through my head. I hope it makes some sense. I used to love you, but I have to kill you.
Okay. Well, did you notice? Yeah. You got to get the optics there, folks, in that press conference with Trump. Mitch McConnell looks like a shriveled shadow of himself. He really looks like a very, there's not much there. There is not much there.
A bleached prune.
Yeah, he really looks bad.
All right, James, what's your take on the latest from Lindsey Graham? So he was all over the media the last couple of days.
Yes.
And supposedly he and Trump went out and played golf. And now I've seen Lindsey Graham was all over Fox News saying, I love you, Donald. I love you, Donald. Donald is great. He's got a great, we've got to pass health care reform, or we've got to pass tax things, or we're going to go down in the midterm elections. So let's get behind Trump. Does he mean it? Was he on drugs? I have a hard time coming to grips with it.
Okay. Of course he doesn't mean it. And you're all over it, George. What he was doing was exactly what Mitch McConnell was doing at that microphone, at that surprise presser in the Rose Garden. Lindsey Graham is peeing in his boots. Mitch McConnell is wetting his pants. Those guys are in a state of fear and panic, and set off by Steve Bannon, so that Steve Bannon's effort to replace him, they now know that he has the power to do it. And so they're terrified. They're going to pretend to be Donald Trump's friends. Donald Trump is going to make nice in front of the microphone, saying, yes, I'm a good boy, Mitch McConnell. I can work with you. And he'll do that. He has to do that as president. But at the same moment, he said at the microphone, Steve and I have a great relationship, and I'll be talking with Steve. And
it was also
it seems like fake news here. I mean, Graham, his quote was, "If we Republicans don't deliver on health care and tax reform, we're going to disintegrate as a party." I translate that as, "I want to disintegrate as a party." Because I'm a pinko phony Republican, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we fail on health care and tax reform. Thank you, Lindsey. That's how I translate that.
Yeah, well, I was with Bill Johnson, the chairman of the American Freedom Party. And folks, by the way, if you're looking for something to do with your NFL money, join the American Freedom Party. Paul Fromm's our international advisor. The gentleman you heard yesterday, Kevin McDonald and Tom Sunick, are directors. I'm privileged to be a director myself. But the Bill Johnson and I went to a political seminar held by Ron Paul at Bally's in Las Vegas back in, I think it was 2008. And there were like 2,000 people there. Big deal. Bill Johnson got to meet privately with Carol Paul and Ron Paul, and I was there too. But Ron Paul made some great points. He really knows politics. And he said, you got to scare them. You got to scare them. We'll talk about these guys. They're scared right after this break. Still last 10 years like the show.
Best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a
clear back,
blue
folks.
Sky today.
This is our last segment before we have to say goodbye on this installment of the Trump phenomenon. We've got a caller, Mark, in Georgia. Mark, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine. Let me see if you can. American Freedom Party, let me ask you, whatever happened to having a candid discussion about what how our Constitution was unlawfully changed, or was talk about tax reform as a euphemism for, instead of having the current extortion racket scam, let's have a different extortion racket scam instead of
okay,
like
but,
Ron Paul
Mark,
said,
Mark, okay.
Yes, sir.
Interesting
question. Deal with how the Hegelian right is just as wrong as the Hegelian left, because both sides are wrong here. There
okay,
is no
Mark,
lesser of
who's
two evils.
Right?
Okay, go on ahead.
Mark,
on ahead.
Let me ask you this. Mark, who on the American political scene, name me the name of that man or woman that you most admire on the American political or commentator scene. Who do you admire the most? Who do you think has it right?
I think that we're all wrong about something, and we're not
going to
get
Mark.
Anywhere.
Wait a minute, Mark.
Right.
Come on.
Who is being stifled and suppressed and ignored? Well, the people
wait,
that
Mark,
the fact
Mark.
That so-called... Well, wait a minute. You're saying I should point to some ideal person
I'm
who's
saying you should
me.
Answer...
I am.
Mark,
I'm addressing
when you get
the
on the radio...
That counterfeit Israel. I'm addressing the fact that
Mark,
the counterfeit
Mark.
Israel... Has
hot, Mark,
well, you're saying,
bye-bye, Mark, bye-bye, see you later, adios, hasta luego. Now, what Mark illustrated there, folks.
Goodbye.
Mark said, hey, where's the discussion about this, about that? In other words, as if people like here are suppressing discussion. But then I recognized immediately Mark as a hypocrite. I asked him a direct question. Just name me who you admire on the American scene. Come on, Mark, you can't answer that question. You can't tell us who you... Is there anybody you admire? He was unable. He was tongue-tied. He was having a conniption. All I wanted to find out is, what the heck does Mark actually believe? And when you ask somebody who they admire, you know, that tells you something. And Mark was unable to answer that question. Mark, the next time I ask you that question, if you ever get on the show again, you know, make something up. There's got, you know, pretend you admire somebody on the American political scene. But I have a feeling if he told us who he really admires, we'd then know who Mark is. And he was uncomfortable about that. Anyway, that was fun. and thank you, engineer, for having good control there of the cutoff button. I was pretty darn sure Mark was not going to answer the question. And then we were going to run out of time and not have time to do something much more important, which is to say thank you to all of you much more sincere and not hypocritical people out there who do know who you admire. if I asked Paul or George for who they admire, they could both give me a list of 20, 30, 40, 50 great patriots, as could all of you. And, anyway, we'll be back again tomorrow night with our brief 1 hour show. Keep in mind that appeal for helping this network, and just thank you all for being the great audience, as Mike Rivero says, one of the best educated audiences anywhere. It shows, although not in Mark. See you all tomorrow night. Bye bye.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on. and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.